And now on this edition of From the Cheap Seats, Ryan and myself will discuss Adam Haluska's new award, as well as our new time slot, Thursday night, 6 to 7 p.m. I'm Will Marchionneau with my co-host Ryan Wallace. This is From the Cheap Seats on KRUI.
You are now listening to the most innovative sports talk show the world has to offer. From the Cheap Seats is heard exclusively on 89.7 KRUI. Now here are your hosts, Ryan Wallace and Will Marchionneau.
Thank you, Lindsay Simmons, Ryan Wallace's girlfriend. It's good to be back for the beautiful introduction here. I'm Will Marchionneau alongside my co-host, Ryan Wallace. If people haven't noticed, new time slot.
New time slot. Brand spanking new. Yeah. We moved from the Monday at noon time slot over to the Thursday at 6 p.m. As of right now, I'm loving this time slot.
Yeah, so we're live and we're ready to go. You can email us always throughout the week, no matter what time it is, fromthecheapseats@gmail.com. That's fromthecheapseats, all one word, at gmail.com. And you usually can instant message us on Yahoo or...
all that jazz.
Yeah, all that jazz at KRUI Sports. AIM is the screen name.
With all the IMU construction or whatever, for whatever reason, we have no internet up here in the studio, so we can't respond to any emails live on air, nor can we answer your instant messengers. But hopefully that'll be fixed by next week.
Yeah, hopefully. I don't really know.
Yeah,
but
we're not going to count on anything. We may have to bring a personal laptop in here and use some Wi-Fi next week so we can get that done.
Well, anyways, let's go ahead and get this show roll here. And we're going to kick things off with the infamous Director's Cup. Ryan and I have discussed this cup for quite some time. Very pumped after the initial standings were brought out, the first standings of the year, because Iowa was in 15th place.
Yeah, very high placing initially.
Fallen a little bit.
Yeah,
now,
well, we knew that. We knew that after the initial placement, which we placed initially in the first three categories of women's cross country, men's cross country, and field hockey, women's field hockey, there were six more additions to the list of events.
None
we
which
didn't
helped.
Score any of them.
Yeah.
So of course we're going to drop from there. So as it stands right now, the final fall standings, Cal at the top, ahead of perennial powerhouse Stanford. Cal at the top with 364 points. And I think the big thing that got them up there is they won the men's polo. First place in men's water polo, excuse me. That gives them 100 points.
Yeah.
So they can jump right up there. So then, obviously, Stanford, the perennial powerhouse, sitting there right behind with the likes of Duke, UCLA, Wisconsin up there. Some very high names up there. And you see Iowa now in 51st place with 108 points.
Yeah.
ISU, UNI, both sitting at 91. With 50 points each after their place in women's volleyball.
Drake nowhere to be found.
I didn't actually look for them. I'm not going to lie, but they probably are nowhere to be found unless they did amazingly well at both women's and men's cross country.
And I hate to say this to our fellow high school alum Justin Vaught, but I don't think they did that well in either of those events. Moving right along, the Hawks 51st place right now currently in the Director's Cup. Cal, Berkeley is in first, Stanford in second, and of course Iowa State and UNI tied right now for 91st place. In the Cy-Hawk standings though, the Cy-Hawk, Hy-Vee Cy-Hawk series, things are a little bit different. The Iowa Hawkeyes currently are leading it 11-4.
Yeah, let's be honest, you and I have talked about this before. We should be sweeping this right now, without a doubt. You and I both attended both of the Iowa losses in volleyball and women's basketball, the only two events that Iowa State has captured thus far, and both events should have been won by Iowa. Volleyball, we let it slip away late, and in women's basketball,
Love the whole game, pretty much.
Yeah, one of the worst finishes probably by this Iowa State or this Iowa women's basketball program. Iowa wrestling, obviously, with a huge upset, probably one of the biggest wrestling matches in recent history in the state of Iowa. That was a huge victory. And then, of course, most recently, we have men's basketball, Iowa with the nod, and women's swimming, which we'll talk about now. Iowa got the nod in that as well.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about women's swimming, which was held December 8th in Iowa City. Once again, we're recapping these events because we were not here to give them to you, so we're going to try and move a little bit quicker, pick up the pace here so we can talk about more current events. But the women's swimming, the Hawkeyes... at the time on December 8th, won 181.5 to 117.5 in the dual meet against Iowa State. The Hawkeyes' record now stands at 5-5, 0-3 in the Big Ten on December 8th.
Yes. That's a pretty big victory, by the way, almost 70 points in swimming. So
the Hawks had won 11 out of the last 13 against the Cyclones.
Yeah, so. Solid victory there for the Hawkeye swimming team. They then moved on January 6th to compete in the FIU invite, both the men and the women. Down there in Florida, and the men win it with 142 points, and the women finish in second place to Maryland, Iowa with 128 there.
Right, and Maryland finished in second place to the Hawks in the men's standings. So Iowa, Maryland going at it there at the FIU invite there. So notables for the women's team there was Christine Kuzik, Julie DeBruin, Emmy Hager, and Robin Samples. But then also for the men, Brad Jones, Seth Tweedy, Brian Ferris, and Nick Devon. Yeah, we just wanted to toss those names out there, get them a little time
yep.
there on the show before we move along.
Exactly.
Here.
That's all we have for them over the break. They will wrap up their regular season competition over this weekend, and then they're going to be getting into a lot of the Big Ten events.
Yes.
And as well as the NCAA events.
Yes. So hopefully... the women's team and the men's swimming teams come out strong here in the Big Ten events and
we have,
get things rolling.
As far as a team, we haven't been exactly solid and at the top always, but individually we have some outstanding individuals.
I'm going to go ahead and shout this out here. We were talking about the new swimming facilities that might be come full force here. I think that'll help recruiting a lot. We want to get Gary Barta in here. Hopefully to discuss some of
yes.
these new facilities, discuss about maybe moving the volleyball team from Carver into the old swimming pool there at the field house.
I'm voting
Ryan,
for it.
Yeah, this Ryan's already voting for
that. I don't
that.
Know how many people it could hold or whatever, but I think it'd be fantastic to have volleyball in the field house, one capacity or the other. You have for those of you who don't know, at volleyball matches, for the student section, the way they've always promoted it is to get the residents, the students that are in the dorms to these games, and that's who perennially goes to the games. And if you have the event at the field house, it's that much closer.
Reno Slater.
You can walk. You don't have to take the bus. You got Reno Slater, Hillcrest, and the Quad all right there. So I think that'd be fantastic. We can get into some of the, more of those changes later. But
talk a little bit about
that. We definitely need to talk about that. And we definitely need to get someone from the athletic administration in here to answer some of our questions that we have about how the facilities are going to shake down with some of the new upgrades.
Right. So and we'll move on here a little about the little women's gymnastics here.
Yep, they're getting the season started.
Yeah. They opened their season on January 12th, hosting LSU in the Breast Cancer Awareness Meet. The Think Pink competition was to benefit breast cancer research. 50% of the ticket proceeds went toward the breast cancer awareness cause. And Iowa... a decent score against
yes.
the number 9 ranked team in the country.
Yes, fantastic showing. As it goes in the vault, LSU took that with 49.4, losing to Iowa 47.8. I mean, these are
I'm assuming, going to be incredibly close scores.
Well,
I'm assuming, I mean, this is much like swimming. The scores are very comparably close. But
exactly.
I'm assuming that the best score possibly could be 50 in a team score, maybe there.
With five people participating
in each event, 10
exactly.
being possible high score. We did have Jennifer. I don't want to... actually assassinate this last name, but Jennifer Simbudas had the best showing for Iowa, scoring a 9.775
and the vault,
on the vault.
Yes.
So the bars went to LSU. LSU scored a 48.675. Iowa had a 47.9. The beam also went to LSU with a 48.225 to Iowa's 47.9. And then Ryan fill us up here with the floor and the total scores.
Yeah, the floor, actually, according to Arth, it goes to Iowa with a 48-9 to LSU's 48-5-7-5. And then the total goes to LSU 194.875 to Iowa's 92.525. And I can do math pretty well, and it appears as though we only get credit for two of those events. They got credit for all of them, even though we did actually win a couple. So who knows? We'll have to get someone in here to interpret it. Those, if everyone knows how the gymnastics, swimming, any of these scoring goes, because we can follow sports pretty well, and who does good and who doesn't, but scoring is really difficult if you're not haven't been following those for your entire career. So if anyone knows how gymnastics, swimming, any of the track scoring goes, please email us. That address is fromthechiefseats@gmail.com, because we would definitely love to learn more about how that works.
Well, I will say this, if she's perhaps listening, Bobby Zimmerman does need to get in the studio so we can discuss
for sure.
Gymnastics.
Without a doubt.
Former gymnastics, well, I believe Tumblr for the Iowa Hawkeyes. So we need to get her in and discuss these various components of gymnastics. But our pure advocate, or what we've always advocated on this show, is how we might not know everything, but we like to learn things, especially about Iowa and the Big Ten in small sports. And gymnastics will be one of the sports that we keep a keen eye on here in the winter months. Moving right along now, let's talk some more gymnastics, but let's talk about the Windy City Invite.
That's right. The Iowa men's gymnastics team traveled over to Chicago to compete in the Windy City Invite with the likes of Ohio State, Minnesota, Michigan, Illinois, and University of Illinois Chicago. And Iowa finished fifth out of those six teams. Does seem like a bad showing if you say we finished fifth out of six teams. However, just like all these other ones, it's close.
This is scoring.
Close. Yeah,
right.
Really, really close. Iowa out of fourth place by only 7 points. And like we said, we're not going to pretend to know everything about these scorings. We have no idea. Regardless, Michigan wins it with a score of 212.75, and Iowa finishes fifth with a score of 198.4. And for those of you here on campus, I'm sure you're well aware of some of the articles and talk that's been around town. The men's gymnastics team is not fazed by this. They're saying it doesn't matter. That's showing they're still impressed and like their individual performances, and they say it's something to build off of, and they're going to move forward. So those of you who are disappointed, I should say, with a fifth place finish should not be, because
right.
They're not. So good luck to them as they continue on. They'll be back in they'll be back in Chicago actually to compete once again against the University of Illinois Chicago this weekend, January 21st.
Yeah, and for most people who probably know that are Hawks Manest members, Ryan and myself noticed this as well. The gymnastics team has the same promo music as our introduction
yes,
does for this
we love
semester.
That.
We switched it up this semester.
We
switched
did.
Our introduction music up. But anyways, moving right along, men and women's track now.
More and more sports. We just got to get these. I mean, we missed the start
indoor
of
track.
Yeah, we got the start of indoor track now. And the men and women's team hosted the Hawkeye Invitational on January 13th. And we had some fantastic individual performances. The men captured 10 title events, whereas the women captured 9 title events. And the standouts on the men's side was Shane Meyer. And he had a fantastic shot event, throwing his... Let's see, he won with a throw of 59.5, and I believe that was his personal best.
Okay.
Possibly. But he does qualify for the NCAA championships already.
Well, that's a quick start.
He's in the bag
But
already.
Isn't he the gentleman who we talked about on one of our beginning shows as being a player, a thrower that could quite possibly compete for the USA?
I think we had another. No, I think that was another name. I think we have quite a few shot throwers.
We're going to have to look back.
Exactly.
And see
we
what
will.
Happens.
We'll check the tape on that one.
Yeah. So, once again, the men and women combined for 19 event titles. And we're going to talk really quick about this young lady, Kaneki Alexander, who broke some records.
Yeah, she ran real fast.
Yeah.
over this past weekend.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's her job, and she did it really well. Alexander won the 600 meters with a collegiate best, 1 minute, 27 seconds, 84 hundredths, shattering a 20-year-old school record, which is 1 minute, 30 seconds, and 77 hundredths, set by Setna Hawkins of the University of Iowa. And she also shattered the rec building record of 1 minute 29 seconds and 57 hundredths, set back in 94 by Michigan's Katie Herdman. So if you can do the math there, that's a full 2 seconds on a 600 meter dash.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot of time. So I think I want to give her the nod. Are you in agreement?
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and give her a nod of the Hawk Athlete of the Week. Now, in later shows here, we will definitely have a little bit more of a prized glitz and glamour edition of the Hawk Athlete of the Week. But for the opening show of this semester, Hawk Athlete of the Week, Hawk Athlete of the Week goes to Kaneki Alexander.
Yeah, without a doubt. Fantastic performance by her and the rest of her teammates, as both the men and women performed very well at their opening tournament. And they'll be back in action at the Jack Johnson Classic in Minneapolis on January 20th. And members of the women's track are also going to be traveling to the Razorback Invitational in Arkansas the 19th through the 20th.
Yes, and now a quick update on the Iowa men's wrestling team, or Iowa wrestling team.
Tom Brands is doing a fantastic job getting it done. I think people are falling in love all over again with Tom Brands.
Well, it doesn't help that it helps tremendously that he has Dan Gable on the sidelines with him. But
yes.
Anyways, Iowa defeated Co 50-0 and North Carolina State 38-9 over break. And they scored its 800th dual victory as a collective university on Thursday, or that Thursday night in December, when they defeated Co 50-0.
Yeah, I went to both of those, and there's not much to say other than we absolutely obliterated both squads. I can remember in that North Carolina State where Dan Erickson, we won two matches there by forfeit, both of them basically because we put the other team in so much pain. Because we put it to him so much. So, Dan Gable wrestling for you.
Submission holes.
Yes.
And such. So,
basically, yeah. Absolutely obliterated them. We then moved on. December 30th, the squad participated in the Midlands Championships. And Iowa finished second to in-state rival Iowa State. Iowa State finishing with total team points 154.5. Iowa with 107 to third place Northwestern. Other notables, Central Michigan with 96.5 in fourth place. Northern Iowa, a team that has been ranked a very good wrestling squad, finishing eighth in this participation with 67 points. And important to note that Eric Lukey, I believe he's second ranked at 174 pounds in the nation. Got the victory and the championship, the individual title there, with a victory over Doug Umbenhauer of God knows what school with the initials of RID. Doesn't matter, because Eric Lutke beat him and beat him down. So, individual title for Eric Lutke.
I would assume that's Ryder.
Yeah. He is climbing up the ladder, Eric Lutke is, and
well, he's already climbed it.
Yeah,
he's second in the country. He has one more pull.
Yeah,
to
he's
climb.
Got one more rung from the top, and I would not be surprised if we see him with that. Look out for him as the Big Ten and NCAAs come up.
Yeah, and so moving along, just to recap what the wrestling team did. Over break, the Hawkeyes placed fifth at the NWCA Cliff Keen National Duels Cedar Falls, Iowa.
Yeah, that was just this weekend.
Yes, January 14th to be exact. Sophomore Charlie Falk picked up his 25th career win with an 11-2 major decision over Hofstra. Hofstra's Dave Thomasette at 125 pounds. Galanakis got the win at 133. Turistis got the win at 141. Alex Grunder got the win at 149. Morningstar lost the 157 match by a major decision to James Strauss of Hofstra. Mark Perry won by forfeit at 165 pounds. Eric Lutke also won again over Alton Lucas of Hofstra. And then Hofstra picked up a W over Philip Keddie in the 184 match. 197, Hofstra also picked up a win over Dan Erickson. And then the heavyweight, Matt Fields, got the decision over Matt Pollock of Hofstra. So They did beat the third seeded Hofstra 26-10 to pick up fifth place there in the dual meet. Now, here's where we pick up pace here and talk a little bit here for, well, quite frankly, the final 40 minutes of our show is going to be devoted to basketball tonight.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit more, well, basketball related.
Exactly,
topics.
Exactly. We will have more to come from those small sports. We had simply just a recap. All those events. We'll definitely get some more as more events begin to creep up here. We'll have tennis, et cetera, and lots more events coming up here as the spring season gets going. We do have some events tailing off and some events just starting up. So it's kind of a slow beginning here. So we will have a lot more small sports to cover. But for this show right now, we do have some big topics to cover in both men's and women's basketball. First of all, let's get a recap of those games that we did miss over the winter break. December 7th, unfortunately, we lost the game, the women's basketball squad up in Green Bay to UW-Green Bay, 67-43. I listened to that one over the radio. Disappointing play. Turnovers everywhere. And then we went to Rutgers, Piscataway, New Jersey, lost there as well, 70-53. Rutgers is a good club.
Yeah, you presumably lose to Rutgers at Rutgers. This is the team who went on a run last year in the Big East Championship Tournament and won the Big East Tournament for women's basketball and then had a decent run in the NCAA Tournament. So a very hot team, still piling on the wins after their NCAA Tournament run of last year.
Yep, and then we proceeded to come home to Iowa City, play Northern Iowa, and just like the men, struggled and the women's basketball team lost their third straight.
Well, I'll tell you what, their women's team lost by a little bit more than the men's team.
Yeah,
men's
honestly.
Lost by two, women lost by 21.
Yeah,
83-62.
You
can see the difference there.
Yeah, yeah, big difference. Then traveled to Drake and got the W there.
Yeah.
Turned it around, stopped the three-game skid, got a W, 77-70.
Pick up the win at Lisa Bluter's former school.
Exactly.
That she coached at. That's big.
That's huge. We then traveled to Minneapolis, Minnesota to take on the Gophers. Got a two-point road Big Ten victory, which is rather huge.
Well, now that's huge because Minnesota has been a perennial Final Four team, I think twice in the last 4 years for women's basketball. A team that plays very well at home at Minneapolis and in the sports complex up there in Minnesota, and they do a lot of very, very good things.
Those two games were the beginning of one of the oddest streaks I think I've seen from any team. We'll get to that as I wrap this up here. After the Minnesota game, we came home for a two-game home set against Ohio State, which we lost 73-67.
And the woman man-child, Davenport.
Yes.
Coupled by her man opposite on the Ohio State men's team, the man-child, Greg Oden.
Exactly.
But Davenport is a beast in the post.
Yes. And then proceeded to lose to Purdue 68-58. Went on the road for a road game.
Yeah.
A couple road games in the Big Ten.
Welsh Ryan Arena. Did we win in Welsh Ryan? We did.
Yes.
We
got
beat Northwestern.
63-61. Then traveled to Bloomington, Indiana, and got the W there, 71-67.
Two things that the men's basketball team, well, obviously they didn't beat Indiana this past week, but we can't seemingly buy a W at Welsh Ryan Arena when we take on the Wildcats for men's basketball. So it's nice to see Lisa Bluter go in there and get a W, get two-game wins, two Big Ten road victories, three on the year.
Exactly. And then we came home just over this weekend and a game that aired on
ESPN 2.
No. KCRG aired this game.
Excuse me, yes.
Against Michigan State, the home game, and continued to struggle at home in the Big Ten as we were defeated 83-63. And like I said, this is one of the weirdest streaks I think I've ever seen. Start with Northern Iowa, and we've lost four home games in a row, yet won four road games in a row.
Yeah, are we a road team?
I guess
so. Can you say that about a team?
I don't know, and I don't know that I've ever seen it so clear-cut to just easily win on the road and just not be able to win at home. It's very odd. You look at like the men's basketball program right now, complete opposite.
Yeah,
we got an actual road victory, and we'll get to that in a minute, but that's one of the weirdest things I think I've ever seen.
Now, standing at 13-8, this is a women's basketball team that we talked about possibly dominating the Big Ten. Behind Ohio State, obviously.
Should be, yes.
And Penn State, obviously, is a very good women's basketball
program. We saw them sitting somewhere in the 4 or 5.
Yeah.
At worst. They needed to be up in that spot, and they're not.
Now, let's remind our listeners here that this team is still very much full of sophomores.
Yes. Still a very young
last year, but they made the tournament last year. So you kind of have to expect more, and you kind of have to have higher expectations for a team who made the tournament last year. Maybe they didn't know how good they were. Maybe, obviously, teams didn't have the bullseye out for the Hawkeyes this year, or like they do this year, maybe. But something's got to change, and they need better production. And Ryan, you say it's as a whole. I have a different argument.
I definitely think it's as a whole. One of the biggest glaring statistics I see is as a team on the season, 327 turnovers to just 304 assists.
Now,
that's not a big thing. Now, where you want to go with that? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and not necessarily say that Christy Smith is a bad player because I like her game. But I don't think she's suited for the point guard spot.
Now you look at her position, and she's got 81 assists to 63 turnovers.
But 63 turnovers.
It's a positive number. Whereas you look at someone like Megan Scobie.
But Scobie's a center.
It doesn't matter. She should not be getting that many turnovers as a center. She is well below her assist-to-turnover ratio where she needs to be I don't even want to figure out the
passing
math
out of
on
the
that.
Double team is a key issue for Scobie. Also making strong moves in the post. Hasn't done a whole lot of that. I think she's relying solely off of her solid athletic ability right now. She's getting calls because of how she performed last year. And obviously that isn't helping out a whole lot.
Well, my point is, you're talking about the troubles at the point guard position, but you look at five players on our team who have more turnovers than assists.
Yes.
I see that as a glaring problem. And you can pinpoint turnovers as one of the biggest problems this team has struggled with all season long. If we have too many turnovers, we're going to lose the game. And that's basically what it comes down to.
Right. And I realize that Christy Smith's averaging 12.6 points a game. I realize she has a better assist-to-turnover ratio, positive assist-to-turnover ratio. But my point is,
okay,
is
can,
that
we, can
she's
we continue?
Not suited.
Wait, let's continue. She's also shooting 46% from three.
I'm not saying she's a bad
46%
player.
46% from the field.
I'm not saying she's a bad player. I'm saying she's not suited for the point guard position.
Management. So you want her, her game, you want to move her to the two spot.
I
want
to move her to the two guard.
Okay.
And be like, hey, run off a couple picks and hit the threes in the corner because I know you can hit them in the corner. And then the game will open up a lot more for you. You can be a spot-up shooter. You don't have to shoot off the dribble. You don't have to even create. You just spot up and hit threes to open up our game.
Okay, now what about this? Do you think that she can, before the season's over, before her career's over, become a point guard with that leadership? She is a sophomore? Am I correct in that?
She's a sophomore.
She's only a sophomore. This is her first time truly leading the team, correct?
No, she started last year.
Okay. She has some experience. Is that why you're pinning it on her? She had last year's experience. She needed to get going now?
Like,
or
games against Iowa State?
Do you give her more time? Are you going to give her more time to maybe mature a little bit, get a little bit more experience at that position, and then mature? Or is it time to make a change?
I
don't know that
we can
do that.
I would like to see us bring in a point guard. We lost the point guard, and the name is slipping my mind right now, but she went to Ohio State. She's a freshman this year.
Yeah,
and we were
going to
bring her
player.
In, and we were going to slide Christy over to the two. But and it's obviously a glaring hole right now in our team. We need a floor general because late in the game, when we're losing, like a la Iowa State, what was the score of the Iowa State game? 80-74. We lost by 6 points late in the game. We had no consistency on offense. We had no idea what we were running. We had nothing. We didn't know what was going on.
Now, do you think that is a floor manager, floor general thing, or a lack of leadership in all? There's no, in my eyes, there's really no leadership from this team. You see some standouts.
How can there be when there's no seniors?
True, but someone's got to step up, and I think the glaring.
It's to be the point guard.
No. I think it's got to be Scobie.
Why?
I think you got to Big Ten Freshman of the Year. I think it's got to be her. I think you got to pit it on her. And it appears as though she's not ready for that right now. In the games that I've seen her play, Bluters mentioned this as well. For some reason, she is playing incredibly soft this season. There's no reason why she should have less than five and a half rebounds a game. Whereas you look at someone like Janae Graham, who's got 9, leading the team a guard is
leading
our team.
Yeah, but she's scrappy, and we've watched her play. She's scrappy.
And we love her. But Scobie should be competing for the leading rebounder. Yeah. She needs to be boxing some people out and saying, this is my paint. I own this.
I painted it.
Yes. And she needs to have the leadership on the court. And I think that's where some of the problems are lying is some for some reason, I think people have figured her out. They've decided this is what we need to do to stop her. Well, and she has not been able to alter her game
she struggles,
and to come back from that.
Well, she struggles running up and down the court.
Yeah.
The fast-paced game, I don't think necessarily is her style of play. And I think you see a lot of the teams in the Big Ten running her up and down the floor.
Yes.
Trying to beat her. And the post players in the Big Ten are agile and can run up and down the floor.
Totally agree.
Yeah, that's something that she definitely needs to work on.
Yeah, I'll go run some stairs with you. If we need to do some conditioning, I will join you for some stairs. Because I think that is definitely a thing that is very lacking in her game. Regardless... we do have to say some positive things as we go here. We've already said Janae Graham, what we call her, Mrs. Clean.
Yeah.
She's just clean, doing the dirty work.
She might marry Dennis Rodman when she gets out of here.
Fantastic. She really doesn't shoot all that much, especially comparatively to the rest of the team. And those statistics don't really matter to me. To me, it's the loose ball pickups, which is not a stat. You're not going to see that. But it seems like the games I've been at, the games I've listened to, the games I've watched, it's her. If it's a loose ball, she's on it. And that's why you see all those rebounds going her way.
Yeah, well, I think what a lot of this team is missing is someone of the caliber of Crystal Smith. Last year, could penetrate, could shoot the three, was quick, played the off guard, is now in the WNBA. This is a player with a very high caliber, and she provided the senior leadership. And now that there's not any there, we're all looking at each other. This Iowa Hawkeye team has to get things rolling with remaining games at home. On the road now at East Lansing against Michigan State. They did a home and away series.
Turn it right back around, yeah.
Yeah. At home against Minnesota, and then on the road against Penn State and Ohio State, then home for Michigan, then on the road to Wisconsin, back home for Illinois, Penn State, and then on the road for Purdue, and back home on senior night. But since there's no seniors, we won't be...
What are we going to call that? I'm going to be very interested to see what we do. Fan appreciation night, probably?
Yeah, fan appreciation night. A 2:05 p.m. tip-off against the Wisconsin Badgers. So, that's the remaining schedule. Not a whole lot of glaring holes, but we've got to win a couple more games, and we have to win at least 3 home games.
Because
if you want to get into the tournament, you have to have some sort of win at home.
Yeah,
you can't win all the games on the road and put me in the tournament.
Exactly, and that's usually what you look at it at a team is when it comes down to it, who's got better road victories. However, if you have glaring holes at home,
like,
out of the discussion.
Like no wins at home against conference opponents?
Exactly. That's rather huge right now. In conference right now, we are 3-0 on the road and 0-3 at home.
Yeah.
That's a glaring hole, and we need to fix both of those.
Yeah, holes.
Continue to win on the road, but we got to get some home victories. And you'd never think that the team would struggle with that, but that's something we got to get done.
Yeah.
And we got to get it done quick because there's not much. I mean, we're past the midway point. We got to get it done here in the Big Ten season, where it's not easy.
Right. Well,
so it's gonna. I mean, we're not gonna say it's gonna be a struggle for this team, and you and I expect a lot out of them, and rightly so. There's a lot to be expected out of this team. However, you still got to get some things done this season. You got to make a run at it, get some confidence, and build that for next year.
Right, and let's be honest with each other. Vantaventer applied for that 6th year of eligibility.
Yep.
She's going to get that, even though she's played in 12 games this year.
We'll see how that develops as the city season.
I think it's because she tore her ACL
again.
Other than that, she'll be coming back next year, hopefully, and that's a key addition in the post down low.
Yeah.
Joanne Hamlin, a transfer from Kansas State.
That's going to be incredibly huge.
Yeah.
The continuing progression of a Wendy Osmore is going to be huge.
Scobie.
Exactly. Scobie, who needs to make some leaps and bounds, I think, to be... I want to correct something and say that we do bash her quite a bit, only because we... watching her play, we know that her upside is huge.
Well, she's the biggest player on the court.
Exactly. There's no reason why she should not be getting 20 to 30 points every couple of games.
30.
She should have some breakout games.
She's about 25 for breakout game.
Okay. She should be getting those kind of games averaging more than 10 boards a game. So the reason we pound on her so much is because we know she can get to that point and expect that she gets to that point. So yeah,
she should be teetering around 8 to 10 rebounds a game and upwards of the high teens in points, 18, 19 points a game. So we'll move along here, and we'll discuss some things men's basketball-wise. And make sure if you'd have any comments for us, rather, that you find our email address, fromthecheapseats@gmail.com. fromthecheapseats, all one word, @gmail.com. Ryan, what's our website so that if people would like to look at our previous shows, they can?
Goodness, I believe it has been a while since I've sprouted this out. I believe it is krucheapseats.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
And if that's wrong in any way, shoot us an email and we can correct that.
That's right. So moving right along now to men's basketball. And so we're going to move along here. Adam Haluska, the University of Iowa senior guard, is one of 30 candidates for the 2007 Lowe's Senior Class Award. The award is presented annually to an NCAA Division I male and female senior basketball player who excel both on and off the court. So, CLASS is an acronym for Celebrating Loyalty and Achievement for Staying in School. And the award was launched in 2001-2002, and the award was conceived by Dick Enberg, sportscaster, who continues to serve as the honorary chairman for the Lowe's Senior Class Award.
And you and I were wondering, does senior guard Adam Haluska get an extra nod because he's a fifth-year senior?
Yeah, is this set up by a point system? Do you get, like... Do you get extra points for being a fifth-year senior?
I'm not sure.
And do you get points taken away if you transferred schools? Because then that would pretty much cancel out the whole fifth-year thing.
Exactly. It'd be
J.R. Engel would be a nice thing, though, if he stayed at Iowa and was a fifth-year senior. That'd be a nice class.
I agree. I'd love to see the rest of this list. I haven't been able to find it as of yet, but it'll be interesting.
Are we just finding things for him to try and win?
Because I guess that's what, I feel like he has like his own publicist or something,
yeah.
And they're going out and seeking out people. Hey. Are you considering Adam Haluska for this award?
Like, it's 2002-2003, and we're Oregon posting big banners of Joey Harrington
exactly,
in New York City for the Heisman Trophy Award.
Exactly. I don't know what that's about. It just seems like he is the media favorite for just about everything. So we'll see how that goes. There will be a selection committee that will narrow it down to 10 finalists towards the end of the season.
Yeah. So right now, Haluska has is currently leading the Big Ten Conference and scoring at 20.3, averaging 4.1 rebounds per game, and has numerous other very good accolades so far this year. But... mind you, starting in the Big Ten play, he started tearing things up, heating up outside from the field.
For sure.
Inconsistent in non-conference.
Right. So the 10 finalists that it'll be narrowed down to will go to a balloting system,
yep.
Where the nationwide vote will go on during the NCAA tournament in March, and fan balloting will be coupled with votes from coaches and media. And I don't know if you've heard this. Those of you who don't know the that Capital One mascot challenge.
Yeah, Herky won that.
Herky won the write-in vote, without a doubt, like ran away with it. Iowa was very good in getting online and writing in Herky's name and ran away with the write-in vote, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see Herky in that competition again next year. So with that said, we know with that Iowa gets out and votes for its kind, so we'll definitely see. If Haluska does make the 10 finalists, look out. Because we vote in droves.
Yeah, kind of like how we travel for our excellent 6-7 football team.
Exactly. All right, let's continue with the basketball talk. Let's do a quick recap. Most of you
what
who listen
missed.
To our show
yeah.
obviously know what's probably going on, but let's give them the recap anyway.
Yeah, okay, so I haven't gotten a whole lot of talk about this, but we lost by 2 to Northern Iowa at home, breaking the 20-game home court winning streak, and then came back and beat Iowa State to start a new streak, lost at Drake, and then came back for wins at home against Georgia State, Texas Southern, Cornell, and Michigan State, followed up by a loss in Champaign to Illinois, beating Minnesota in Iowa City, 60-49, amidst student section cheers from the Gophers faithful up in the far north end of the Carver Hawkeye Arena, saying that they hated Iowa. Well, we don't hate you because we couldn't care less about you. That's an 11-point win against the Gophers, and then currently the debacle in Bloomington. But I will say this: Ryan and I watched the game together, and we collectively agree that the loss at Indiana was very hard fought, even though we lost by 7 points.
A fantastic
we continued
comeback.
We continued to play basketball
and fight.
And we've seen plenty of Hawkeye teams that when they get down 20, just roll over and play dead.
Yeah, if we're down 15 with 4 minutes to go, we say, okay, we'll see you. And then we end up losing by 28. And those are horrible
ones. So we're
going to
go start the bus now.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see you later.
And we haven't seen that from this team, which has been fantastic. With the recent loss, Illinois, and then as well at Indiana, both of those, we saw the team fight back, and that was loss is never easy to swallow, but it's much easier if you can see those kind of progressions and see your team fight back in the end.
Yeah. So, we have some games starred here that you would like to discuss, possibly?
I just wanted to point out, we had been talking about this before.
Okay.
If we take the games where they have been extremely close, 5 points or less, four of our losses have been 5 points or less. The loss at Arizona State, winnable game, should have won that. Virginia Tech, who have just now been handed their first loss in the ACC, we lost that by 4 points. Look at Northern Iowa. Definitely should have been a victory there. We lost by two.
Yep.
And then you go to the Illinois game where we only lost by four.
We were ahead pretty much the whole game.
Exactly.
All those games.
We did. And it was a rather hefty comeback at the Illinois game, but we did still have a shot to win that. So you take that into effect, and you take your record at 10-8, and all of a sudden it switches
to
14.
You minus those four losses, and it switches to 14-4.
That's huge, huge. And one of those obviously being in the Big Ten.
Yep.
And now we're sitting at 3-1 in the Big Ten.
Well,
and that'd be huge.
And people are already harping on Steve Alford about how we haven't won a game in conference on the road. We've only played two games in conference on the road against teams that are always in the upper echelon,
especially
of the Big
at
Ten.
Home. Especially yeah. at home. I don't know if anyone else was watching when, in the last 6 years, I think it was, that stat came up when we were watching that game. What is it, 101-6
at home
is Illinois?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
And they had just lost to Ohio State at home.
Exactly.
So don't think for 2 seconds they're going to come in and lose two games in a row.
Exactly.
At home.
That's not going to happen.
No.
And then you go to Indiana, and it's always hard to play at Assembly Hall, especially given the whole weird stuff that goes on when Alford comes back, and the crowd cheers for them just as much as for him as they do for their own team. And that, it's,
not
it's
anymore. Not with Kelvin Sampson under
right.
helmet.
They
Indiana.
Love him. They do love him. But that's always a weird situation. So, without a doubt, I think most people think that we're struggling so bad, but if you look at those four games, and if we're sitting at 14-4, 3-1 in conference,
we're talking
this is
about
a much different conversation.
Surprise team in the country.
And why is it? Because those four games were very close. So just because, I mean, victories are everything, and they matter the most, but you can't be harping on our team too much because we were in all those games. We probably should have won them all. But you can't say that we're a complete failure given that you switch a couple things around and this is a whole different season.
Well, and you also take a look at the teams that we lost to by considerable margins. Virginia Tech, yeah, they lost last night to Florida State, but this is a team that's probably going to be in the NCAA tournament. Arizona State's not going to be in the tournament unless they do some amazing things in the Pac-10. Northern Iowa, tournament team. And Illinois is a tournament team, and we lost to those guys all by under 8 points. Yes, we haven't had a lot of impressive victories, but I will say this. We have gotten victories when we've needed to, and we do have an impressive victory over Michigan State at home.
Yeah, that was a pretty good. And then you look at some of the blowout losses, quote-unquote.
Well, Villanova just blew out Notre Dame last night.
Exactly, and they're a fantastic squad. That was a tough loss, but you look at the Alabama game, which we were in for quite a while of that game.
Yeah, 72-60 loss.
And they're fantastic. They just were handed an upset loss by Vanderbilt.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure.
But they're a fantastic
that
squad.
Alabama outweighs us in the post by something like a combined 225 pounds.
Yeah, they're a huge team. So, hey, this was not a cakewalk schedule, an easier schedule in compared to other seasons, but not a cakewalk schedule. I guess a lot of people were just expecting that those teams like Virginia Tech, Arizona State, Alabama, Villanova maybe having down years, but those are all quality programs.
Well, still, Let's point out too that Arizona State, while they're not that great, Herb Sendek coaches that team. And he took his NC State team in just a year ago here to play in the ACC Challenge, and we won a grindout game against NC State last year.
That was a fantastic game.
And you know he's thinking, I want some revenge on these Hawkeyes, and that's what his team did for him. So you can't say that there wasn't any connection there between those two schools, as everyone always can find connections between any two schools that play each other on any given night. But more of a connection there by the head coach of Arizona State, Herb Sendek. So, moving along here, talk a little bit about the statistics here through some games about the Iowa Hawkeyes. And I just want to say up front that I was very disappointed in Adam Haluska's play in the non-conference season, talking about how he was very inconsistent, about how he would score 20-some a game, then 8 the next, and so on and so forth. He now leads the Big Ten in scoring at 20 points a game. And this is a guy who's really started to light it up for the Hawkeyes once Big Ten play started. But I'm going to say this. He takes a lot of shots.
Yes, at times too many. And we've seen some of the most productive games that he has ever had were the games where he took the fewest and allowed the teams to spread it around the most.
Now, I will say this. He has lit up Penn State. And we play them not this weekend, but next week.
Yes.
And he has lit them up in years past. So that's a very formidable sign.
Yes. Will has been harping, probably not as much on our show as in my ear.
In the stands.
In the
Hawk's
stands.
Nest.
Yep. Yeah, all that jazz. About how inconsistent he is. And I think that Adam Haluska has done a good job in Big Ten play of proving that wrong. He has come to play so much.
And I'm not afraid to eat my words. So, he is a player that I definitely thought not be able to.
And I think the biggest key is he is now shooting close to 38% from three, which is huge for him.
He was at 30% at the end of the regular season.
Exactly.
Non-conference
season. Exactly. So he has brought that up quite a bit, which is one of the things that he needs in order to get all those points that he does. However, he has taken 144 three-point shots on the year. The next closest is someone with 59. Who's got 59 there?
Yeah, Tony Freeman has 59. Well, excuse me, Justin Johnson was 66.
Yeah, there you go.
But Justin's shooting the best on the team, still at a 45.5%
which was
three-point clip.
Above 51.
And he has not been shooting well for some multiple games. You're stringing about four or five games in a row where he hasn't even made a three, or if he has, he's only made one or two. So very, very interesting there that Justin Johnson's still leading the team at three-point percentage at 45.5% per game. Although I will say this, Justin is 100% from the line on the year at 12 for 12.
Yes. It took him
overall, this is a very, very good free throw shooting
team. Yes, which is one of the things, I think probably the first year in Alford's career here at Iowa that you can peg his team as a decently shooting free throw team.
They're shooting 77.5%.
We are at the top or near the top as a team as well in free throw. And then you look at Adam Haluska, who I believe leads the Big Ten in free throw percentage.
89.
He's at 89, which was upwards of 94 earlier in this year.
Well, he's missed a couple the past couple
exactly.
games,
too. Exactly. He has been struggling, but you're looking at a fantastic free throw shooting team as we're shooting 77 from the line. Some of the other things I want to get to here is our big man play.
Okay.
You and I have said this all along. Seth Gorney is a fantastic player. And probably gets harped on by the media and the student section and the fans in general far more than deserve it. He has had some opportunities where, let's be honest, when you're a big man inside and someone can pass you the ball really quick, like the likes of Tyler Smith and Tony Freeman can, and they can get that ball in there lightning quick, that can be hard to adjust to.
Well, now you've got two options here.
And you can, and then it leads to some turnovers. And that's where a lot of these the moans and groans from the media and student section, I think, are coming from is the dumb turnovers that we've seen out of as of Gorney.
We'll continue to say this, but this will be the first time we say it right now, but I'll continue to reiterate this point. When Gorney steps out and shoots that anywhere between 15 to 18-foot jumper, let's not all go, oh.
Yeah, hold,
when he
don't
shoots
hold
it,
your breath.
He's going to stroke that shot.
Yes. And there have been games, unfortunately, where the opponent has been playing magnificent defense, and for some reason, Seth Gorney is our only option. that's okay if it's a couple possessions. If it's the whole game, we don't want to rely on
his... He has a nice little dribble jump stop
exactly,
move, too, that can...
Exactly.
If he can
however, we
a shot.
We've had some games where we have been relying on that, and that's a problem when we're relying on it. If it's a bonus, if it's an added bonus that a few possessions, that's all we can get, and he's stroking it, that's fantastic because he's going to do that.
Right.
But if we're going to put pressure on him and we have to have him score, that's a problem. On the other hand, he does need to be getting the boards. He hasn't been producing on the boards as much as I would like. However, we have been doing a big man by rotation type play at this point.
Collectively, I would like to see this out of our big men. About 18 points, 18 to 20 points out of all of our big men collectively, and anywhere between 8 to 12 rebounds. By all of our big men collectively, as a unit, you should be able to total that up and get about 20 points and 8 to 12 rebounds. And that doesn't sound like a whole lot, but the way our guards have been playing and the way Tyler's been playing, that seems to be a formidable asset, and we could win a lot more games. We could win the closer games if our big men... if we got that type of production out of all of our big men.
Yeah, and we're a little short of that. We're sitting more like 14 points. I don't think the rebounds are nearly where they need to be. And the big thing about our big men right now is we're seeing not a collective unit. We've seen Gorney just had a fantastic game, I think, with 14 and 12. We've seen Luby have standout games, getting like 10 boards and like six yep. blocks. And we've seen Tate against Michigan State, which just affirmed that he has the potential to be a fantastic Big Ten big man.
And he didn't see a lot of action against Indiana.
Exactly. So I think what we need to see is collectively all of them getting clicking at one time. And I think if we see that, it's going to be fantastic. And look out for us, ladies and gentlemen, because we'll be coming for you if that's going to be the case. So that being said, we should see some very good things from this basketball team as we go. The tough game coming up this weekend against Ohio State. How are you feeling about that?
Okay, quite frankly, if we come within anywhere between 5 to 15 points of this team, I'll be very impressed.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Man-child Greg Oden
yeah.
scares the bejesus out of me.
Well,
scares me to death. I cannot wait for him to skip town and go to the NBA.
He,
but the problem is, there's more waiting to come to Iowa State for those or Ohio State. Excuse me. For those of you who don't know, they have big men lined up.
Yeah,
and so that's gonna be a problem for years to come as Iowa faces. However, Greg Oden just scares me.
Yeah, Greg Oden is definitely the real deal. Although against Northwestern, who's a small team. He had 5 points, 6 rebounds. He did have 5 block shots, but he played against a small team. I don't think his offensive game is ready to play in the NBA.
I think the thing you need to do to beat him is a similar strategy to Megan Scobie. You need to run up and down the floor. He is quick.
His
he is
conditioning
agile.
Isn't good enough.
Exactly. I think he's not a slow player by any means.
No.
But I think you can easily beat him up and down the
you
floor.
You can slow him down.
Exactly.
He's
and
not
I think,
a slow player.
I think Tate and Luby can easily do that. I think they can easily beat him up and down the floor. You just have to worry about him blocking you from behind and still playing good defense.
You know what I also like is the fact that Gorney played that last game against Indiana. He showed it in all the games really this year. He can step outside and hit that 18-foot jump shot. That's going to draw Oden out. And if
and
it doesn't draw
huge,
Oden out,
huge.
Then Gorney's going to have a big game.
Exactly. And if he does draw him out, that's going to open a lot of things up for whoever's...
Tyler Smith.
Exactly. Whoever's
Adam Holuska in the post.
Exactly. We're going to get a lot of looks because when Greg Oden's around that hoop, you're going to be very fearful because it's probably going to come into the student section. So
right. So player to watch for in this game for Iowa against Ohio State.
I think it's the big men. I don't want to pick a specific one. Whoever is matched up against Greg Oden, I don't look to them to have a big game, but I look, just like we said, we need to draw him out there. We need to move him around and just not take him out of the game, but slow him down because you're not going to stop anyone like that. He's still going to get some. He's going to get some. Not a lot, but some in one capacity. So I think the big men have to do a good job of slowing him down in one capacity or another.
Well, here's what I look for. I look for two players. I look for Mike Henderson. Be more aggressive on the offensive end of the court.
Definitely.
Take it to the hole. He does a lot of very, very good things. He's good for about one carry call a game. But
yes.
Other than that, he does a lot of very good things for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And we need more consistent play out of him. Tony Freeman off the bench. But anyways, my main key player, though, for the Ohio State game is Cyrus Tate. This is a game that matches for formidably up, kind of like the Michigan State game did, and he came up with 14-9 against the Spartans. And this is a team that's rugged, that's big, and can definitely bang down low with you in the Ohio State Buckeyes. Cyrus Tate likes to bang down low, and so it'll be interesting to see what he does against Greg Oden as well.
Yes, I think that's a fantastic pick, and hopefully we'll see some good things as we come back for two home games against the likes of Penn State and Wisconsin.
Yep.
That Wisconsin game is a winnable game, ladies and gentlemen, at home, at Carver. So we'll look to see some good things out of those games.
Yeah, so once again, the Hawkeyes face Ohio State on Saturday. The Buckeyes and the Hawks tip things off at 7 p.m. in Columbus, Ohio, and then they come home for Penn State and Wisconsin. Wisconsin is Jason Bohannon, the guard for Wisconsin, his homecoming as he went to high school in Linmar.
Yes. Let's get some things wrapped up tonight. For those of you who have not known, Will and I are having a little personal competition.
A
couple of them. The first being, who can get to more University of Iowa athletic events? At the moment, I'm leading 29-23. We're both kind of just going back and forth with basketball. We've either been to every game together. You've been to one game by yourself. I've been to one game by myself. So the lead has kind of stand still. And I don't think it's really going to go anywhere until the spring sports really get into full gear or someone comes down with an illness.
Yeah, well, we've also had an unwritten rule that we don't stab each other in the back and not call each other about events.
I did break that rule only once.
Yeah, you did.
I did break that rule once. Still, I would... Even if you take that away, I still have a 5-point lead.
So I get a gimme.
No, you don't get a gimme.
Okay.
No, fine. You don't get a gimme.
I get a stab in the back gimme?
Exactly.
Fine.
I'm still going to take that.
All right, fine.
Regardless, we also have another competition. Before every Hawkeye home game, we have made some over-under predictions, let's give them an example.
Okay, so we usually do total points, both teams' final point number for the game, combine that. We usually set it at about 130 or 140 total points, and then we do individual player stats plus a team stat for the Hawks, like under 15 turnovers or 15 turnovers for the game,
and
10 assists for the game.
I.e., and then Will would pick the over, and what have you.
And if they had 16 turnovers, then I win.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And where we are on that on the season is I am ahead 20-17. We also throw into that each game, we do a pick to click.
Yeah.
And
if you watch Chicago White Sox games, then you would understand that.
Yeah, exactly. So I think a lot of people are well aware of that with numerous sportscasters. So as it stands in the cheap seats events, I am leading 29-23. And in the over-unders, I am leading 20-17. We'll see more of those to come. And you know what would be fantastic is if anyone out there has any ideas for over-unders on the games, because Will and I are trying to come up with some really creative ones. The most creative one we've had on the season was J.R. Engel 5 minutes of play against the Citadel.
This is before he started playing.
Exactly. We had no idea he would even get in. I picked the under, clearly thinking, no, he's not going to get in the game.
I took that. I said, ha ha.
Exactly.
I snickered to myself when
exactly.
I wrote it down.
So J.R. Engel got 7 minutes of play, and Will took that one. So if you guys out there have any creative ideas for over-unders for those basketball games, please shoot us an email at fromthecheapseats@gmail.com.
I will say this, though. No Brett Wessels emails, no Dan Bohol emails, unless you want to say how many games in a row Dan Bohol sits on the bench with a cutoff t-shirt on, showing off his tattoo on his upper left arm.
Exactly.
Because he does that every game, and quite frankly, it's sickening. So
Enough.
No Brett Wessels emails.
Off your soapbox.
Yeah, I don't take any Brett Wessels emails, so I will disregard any Brett Wessels emails.
All right.
So, once again, to recap that, Ryan's up 29-23 in the cheap seats event standings. And in the over-under standings, Ryan's up 20-17. Make sure you email us at fromthecheapseats@gmail.com with any of your requests, things to talk about, certain statistics that you find interesting. We'll be sure to read those emails on air next time.
That's right. And for those of you who know your friend would love to listen to us but didn't have a chance, Thursdays from 6 to 7, we're going to do our best to continue with the podcast. That's up on iTunes. That's up on our website, krucicheapseats.blogspot.com.
Yep.
We're going to do our best. It's going to be a little more difficult. For those of you who don't know, a little cat out of the bag. Last semester...
Yeah.
We were syndicated. We recorded Sunday night, played it Monday. We're live this semester, so there's a little bit more technical difficulties into getting that podcast on the air. We're going to do our best. If you have any problems with that, make sure you shoot us an email from thecheapseats@gmail.com.
All right. Once again, the Hawkeyes men's basketball team takes center stage Saturday against the Ohio State Buckeyes. And to wrap things up, Friday on the 19th, swimming and diving is home against Western Illinois. They hit the pool at 5 p.m. Wrestling is at Oklahoma State at 8 p.m. on Friday. In Stillwater, Oklahoma. Women's tennis has the Hawkeye Invitational all day on Friday the 19th, and women's track is in Arkansas, so if you can't get down to Fayetteville, it's understandable for the Arkansas Razorback invite. Saturday on the 20th, swimming and diving is home against Illinois and Ohio State. Men and women's event both at the same time. First dive and swim is at 11 a.m. Men's gymnastics is in Michigan. Men's basketball is at Ohio State. Men's track is at the Jack Johnson Classic in Minneapolis. The women's tennis is things up in the Hawkeye Invitational all day for the Iowa Hawkeyes at home, and women's track is again at the Razorback Invite and the Jack Johnson Classic. Sunday, the 21st, women's gymnastic, NC State, Georgia, and Ohio State over in Raleigh, North Carolina. Women's basketball, Michigan State, East Lansing, tip-offs at 105. Wrestling takes on the Wildcats in Rolling Meadows High School and Rolling Meadows, Illinois at 2 p.m., and the women's tennis is at the Hawkeye Invitational all day. And then next week before our show, Wednesday, the men's basketball team takes on Penn State at home, tip-offs at 7:05, and women's basketball takes on Minnesota at home, tip-offs at 7:05 on Thursday, January 25th. You can see Ryan and us and myself at the game Thursday after the show. For Ryan Wallace, I'm Will Marchionneau. You have listened to yet again another splendid edition of From the Cheap Seats.